So we're going to start again, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to start again. Now, I want to ask you, how many times have you needed to start again when you're creating authentic power? How many times have you started with the intention of not reacting or not expressing or acting on an emotional reaction and then found yourself doing that very thing? Well, I have quite a few times. And I believe you have too, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I love to do things over again when I find myself pursuing external power when I wanted to pursue authentic, when I wanted to create authentic power. Yeah.
So let's look at this restart as symbolic of a restart that you can make at any time. Any time that you discover that you're acting on a frightened part of your personality, any time that you feel that what you're saying isn't in integrity, any time that you feel that what you're saying isn't appropriate because your intuition is suggesting that something is not appropriate with what you're saying, restart. Remember this. It took a little adjusting. It took a little work. But now we're restarting. And where we are starting again is on the difference between a conscious Christmas and a commercial Christmas. For those of you who didn't have audio, and those of you who didn't have video, those of you who didn't have audio or video, the topic of this call today is a conscious Christmas or a commercial Christmas. Which one is it that you're having? Which one is it that you've been having up until now, and which one is it that you intend to have into the future? We, of course, suggest a conscious Christmas. What would a conscious Christmas feel like? How would it be different from the Christmas that you've begun to celebrate now? And that's the Christmas that you're celebrating now, is an authentically powerful Christmas. Well, there's lots of ways that there's lots of things that I can think about.
There are lots of things I've thought about too, beloved. There are just so many ways to be more conscious with our Christmas.
I think the first thing I could say is that a conscious Christmas would look something like the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How the Christ would behave.
Mm-hmm.
That means loving others, caring about others, without second agendas. No attempts to impress, no attempts to do the right thing, no acting out of obligation or social pressure.
Mm.
It wouldn't be an event, it would be a process. It would be a lifelong process. The Christmas that we celebrate is not the Christmas if we only do it for one day of the year or one month of the year, or we only do it for the month starting after the Black Friday, after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Christmas. That's the commercial Christmas. That's the unconscious Christmas. But the conscious Christmas is the Christmas that you're living day by day, moment by moment, year by year, as you create authentic power. This kind of Christmas would demand commitment and an elevated perception. It would be the experiences of love and caring, of wisdom and compassion, brought into the very substance of your life. That would be a conscious Christmas. So, what would be an unconscious Christmas? We're going to look at that in some detail. But I want to ask another question for your consideration. Who would benefit from a conscious Christmas? And the answer is everyone. Not only you, but the people you're around, the family you're around, the friends you're around, the students you're around, the co-workers you're around. A conscious Christmas would remove the film of sentimentality, if you have one, on Christmas. A time of a merry time. A time of Noel. A time of being home for Christmas. A time of, wouldn't it be nice if it's a white Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for our friends in Australia and New Zealand, in India, where this Christmas is in the middle of the summer, it would still remove every trace of sentimentality, every trace of feeling that life is different because you see a Christmas tree or an image of Santa Claus. It would replace every distortion of jealousy and resentment and judgment. When you come together for this holiday, do you have difficulty if you're visiting in-laws? Do you have judgments? Do you feel they have judgments of you? Are you criticizing? Are you blaming? If so, then know that that's not Christmas. That's not the celebration of the birth of love into the world, which is what Christians celebrate with the birth of their Christ, their image of one who could live a life consciously, who could forgive without reservation even the most cruel and barbaric things, one who could care for others, one whose generosity of spirit and love and care had no bounds, one who said to his followers, "You can be like me. You can do everything that I have done and more." So let's look at the differences between a conscious Christmas and an unconscious Christmas so that you can see for yourself which one you're engaged in now. Or if you're engaged in both, how you can become engaged completely in a conscious Christmas and disengage from an unconscious Christmas.
Exactly.
Or a commercial Christmas.
Exactly. Because I was thinking about how any time we create a conscious Christmas, we're creating authentic power. And any time we create an unconscious Christmas, or a time when we're unconscious, we're creating external power. And so these are some of the things that I thought about. To create a conscious Christmas would be quality time with family and friends. Instead of buying things out of feeling obligation or pleasing someone so that they'll like you, so that they won't abandon you, so that you'll feel good about yourself, rather than buying it for the real gift of buying something or giving something.
In other words, are you buying gifts to manipulate and to control? Are you buying things or gifts to conform? Those are not gifts. Those are actually manipulations. Our granddaughter, who just entered college this year, is now 18. But I remember going to see her on her first Christmas. And she was about 6 months old. And I remember that we had some beads or some minor things with us, and I happened to give them to her. And she was fascinated with them. And she kept playing with them. And she was lit up with delight. Do you remember that, beloved?
I do remember that.
And I realized this is all the Christmas gift that she needs from us. Our presence there was a gift to her. But those little beads, they didn't make noise, they didn't move on their own, they didn't honk, they didn't connect to the internet. They were just little pieces of color. And she was fascinated with them. It was all she needed. Her Christmas was complete, and so was mine. But the Christmas for the rest of us had just begun. And out came the toys. She was placed in front of the Christmas tree, and under the Christmas tree were packages and packages and packages, and each of them wrapped in paper that I can now, looking back, realize that to this six-month-old child was a dazzling array of sensory input. And then we started opening the presents. She was too small to open them. One after the other, presents were opened and given them to her. Often she didn't really know what to do. She tried to look at them. She tried to get an impression of what they were, but she didn't have much time before another package was opened. And then the same process. And after a while, a short while in fact, she began to cry. And then she began to squeal and to scream, completely overloaded. And yet still the presents came, and the adults tried to comfort her and to show her the gifts that they'd given and how nice they were. Now tell me, who were those gifts being given for? The adults or this six-month-old neonate? The answer is clear, isn't it? All those gifts were in a way an expression of love, but they weren't really, because no one was relating to the child. No one was saying, "How can I support the child today? What can I do to help her see that this world is a magnificent, joyful, marvelous, amazing place, and not to overwhelm her with it?" No one, including me, thought about those things. The thoughts just started to come to me as I saw her begin to cry and then become distressed and then squeal. She wanted it all to come to a stop, but the adults wanted to share their gifts. Have you ever been in engaged in an experience such as this, I noticed that this process continued the next year. We didn't so much participate in it, but the other adults around these children did. And then I noticed, as her sister joined, was born, and joined the Christmas, and as they both grew, it wasn't very long before they ran down to the Christmas tree, and without really appreciating the beauty of it, and the variety of color, and sparkle, and sensory input, they tore into the papers, ripping them apart, throwing them away, tearing into the boxes, and pulling out what was inside of them, and looking at it, and showing approval, or ah, or ooh, it's so nice, or oh, mommy, or oh, daddy, or oh, usually just oh. And then tearing the paper off the next package, and tearing the paper off the next, and tearing the paper off the next. And this continued pretty much until today, even as they were in middle school and high school. And I have this thought. I wonder if this experience that we were giving them has to do with a lot of online ordering and package receiving and the pleasure of tearing the shipping paper off something that arrives from an internet vendor, opening the box and seeing what's inside. And what's inside, or the magic of what's inside, wears off pretty quickly, and then we buy something else. All of these are experiences of a commercial Christmas.
Well, I think they're experiences of fright and parts of the personality.
Precisely,
that,
beloved.
That expect to get gifts, that once they're given, they're happy about them for the moment, but most of the time, most gifts that are given, I feel, aren't really appreciated and aren't really valued because there's then the frightened part wants more and more and more. So I think that happens continuously in many, many, many families. It happens, as far as I know, all the time. There may be children that really value the things that they get, and maybe they have parents that are more aware that, you know, but I think in most families, the way that it goes is they're bought many things that they say they want, and then some things are really valuable. But there's so many gifts. So I'm thinking that
Also, here's something, a thought, too. We are speaking now on the Internet, which means we have a computer and you have a computer and we know how to use the Internet, which means that we live in a fairly affluent part of the world. Even many developing parts of the world are gaining access to the Internet and to computers. But there are still a billion or two people who don't have that luxury, who don't have the affluence that we have. And by affluence, I'm not talking about upper middle class or middle class. I'm talking about having a home, having running water, having heat, being able to be dry when it rains and warm in the winter. So in those families, giving is a different experience. But we're addressing our comments to our spiritual partners here because we feel that you'll be able to relate to them. The point is, when a gift is given, is it given? What is the intention behind the gift? That's always the question. What is the intention? Is the intention for you to please someone else so that you'll feel better about yourself? Is the intention to meet the expectations of your peers or your culture, your preacher, your priest? Or is the intention to share from your heart? If the gifts that you give are mostly for birthdays or holidays, look at that. Do you ever give gifts outside of those times? Do you ever feel that you see something and a friend or a relative would like that and you want to do something for that friend without attachment to the outcome, without attachment to their liking? Notice the times when you give without thinking because it's a holiday or an occasion to give, that's in quotes, or you give because you have the impulse to share out of an overflowing love and gratitude that you have for your life and for someone in your life.
So I was thinking, beloved...
Can you speak more loudly?
I was thinking, beloved, that there's more than just gifts that we're talking about now, physical gifts. I'm thinking about... I was thinking of what would be a conscious Christmas? It would be to be aware, have aware and healthy interactions rather than sentimental and unexamined interactions with people.
Or habitual interactions.
Exactly. So I want you to think about what would be a conscious Christmas for you as we're talking about this. What would be unconscious and what has been unconscious in the past? Because we're going to be talking about this during the questions and answers and throughout this call, actually. And what about having compassion for yourself and others? Is that something that you value as something, as a conscious, to me, that's a conscious Christmas, having compassion instead of judging yourself and others. So be thinking about that. And what about...
If you're giving gifts because you want to be appreciated, then you are judging yourself. You're judging yourself as unworthy of love.
Hmm.
You're judging yourself as essentially unlovable if you're not giving, if you're not doing something for someone else. So that is a form of judging yourself. It's the fundamental form of judging yourself.
How about seeing things? To me, a conscious Christmas is seeing things from a higher perspective, seeing things from an impersonal perspective rather than taking things personally. That, to me, is conscious Christmas. Cultivating love.
Well, let's not jump over that.
Okay.
Let's go into each of these. Seeing from an impersonal perspective. You know that that means that it is a perception that the experiences of your life have a purpose, and that purpose is your spiritual growth. So there is nothing that happens to you, no interactions you have, no circumstances you encounter, that is not perfect for your spiritual growth, given the wisdom of the choices that you've made.
Let's say, for instance, beloved, you go home,
yes,
and you're planning to have a conscious Christmas. You're
yes.
planning to do that, and what happens is you find yourself caught in feeling hurt again, feeling taking it personally, and you don't know why you're doing that. You go home, and so it must be these people. It can't be you because you've been doing a lot of work on yourself, right? Can't be you. But the truth is, it is, because if those reactions are coming up in you, this is perfect for you. So that would be seeing it from an impersonal perspective, seeing that it's absolutely perfect that you're having these reactions to your family, to the friends, your old friends.
That's exactly right. Now, have you ever had an experience like this to you? Because Linda used the example of going home for Christmas. Have you ever had an experience like this? Well, I'm going to suggest that you have, because I know that you have, because I know that everyone has. And why is that? Because the most challenging relationship that you will ever have is with your parents. And the most challenging relationship that your children will have is with you. The parent-child relationship is the most difficult because it is the most fruitful, or can be the most fruitful. It's potentially the most beneficial. It has the ability to continue to push your buttons, which, as you know, means to bring up to activate frightened parts of your personality. So you go home, and your first day or your first moments there are joyful, and you're so happy to see your parents, and then you suddenly find yourself feeling diminished, or you feel yourself not in the fullness of who you are, not in the joy that you have in your life, or simply sinking back into your relationship with your family as seen through your fear. This happens when you interact with your parents, and you can see for yourself, as you create authentic power, that these are opportunities for you to recognize and challenge frightened parts of your personality and cultivate loving parts of your personality. So don't be surprised when you go home for Christmas that it's not all rosy and peaches and cream.
Or when your family comes home to you.
Yes. Don't be surprised that it is, in fact, exactly what it needs to be. An opportunity for you to interact with souls with whom you have a contract to assist one another in growing spiritually. And when the frightened parts of your personality become active, to see them for what they are. This is the impersonal perspective that Linda talked about. This is the perspective of your soul. Use those opportunities. Don't think, wow, how could they spoil Christmas? How could I spoil Christmas? Instead, be aware of the gifts that are being given to you in those moments of discontent or anger or judgment that you recognize in yourself or that you see into people around you and use them. Use them to grow spiritually. As you create authentic power in your life, you gain practice in this. It's exactly what you do every day, all the time. So now, Christmas or holiday season is an opportunity for you to continue to do what you do all the time or as often as you can remember while you're creating authentic power.
Absolutely. Another, I love it. As we were talking about this call, I had written down a lot of things, and we won't be able to go through all of them, but what I want all of you to do is to be thinking about how you specifically can have a more conscious Christmas. So, I'll give you some examples. One is healthy, conscious eating and drinking. So, if you're eating and drinking to cover pain because of all the things that are coming up for you, instead of actually enjoying people and being more interested in finding out about them and going having a more meaningful relationship with them, instead you're covering it up with food and drinking. So think about that.
Now, this is the same thing that you've been thinking about throughout your life as you create authentic power. When you're eating, am I eating more than my body needs? Am I having this wine at dinner because I'm celebrating with friends, or is it difficult for me to stop having a glass of wine at dinner? Maybe it's very difficult for me. You won't know until you stop it, and then you see what happens with you.
What pain is underneath that?
Again, the difference between a conscious Christmas and a commercial Christmas, or a conscious life and an unconscious life, is awareness. It is awareness of your emotions. It is applying your emotional awareness.
Yeah.
And it is the choices that you make, responsible choices, choices of intentions that will create consequences for which you're willing to assume responsibility. And don't forget, the law of attraction is working every moment. So as you are giving others to impress them or to please them or to ingratiate yourself them or just to avoid their judging you, you will be drawing to yourself those who do the same for you. And in fact, if you're doing that, if you are unconscious during the holidays, you have a lot of company.
Oh,
the entire indeed. Commercial Christmas is built on that, feeds on that, and nurtures that unconsciously.
Yes, that's terrible.
Isn't that interesting? A season of love is now turned consciously into a season of fear. The season of not having, the season of not being appreciated. How many people feel sad because they're not where they want to be at Christmas, or they're not where they want to be on a holiday?
Or things aren't going the way they want them to where they're at.
Yes, now look at it in your life and see, does that really have anything to do with a holiday? Or does it have to do with frightened parts of your personality?
Yes. And be very aware of the difference between caregiving and caretaking. Because the intention when you're caregiving is loving. The intention when you're caretaking is to take, is from frightened parts of the personality. So you can use this holiday season as a way to become even more aware of the frightened parts of your personality that want to caretake, and more aware of the loving parts of your personality that would only caregive. But I want to say a couple more things. Acting and speaking with integrity during the holiday season. It's really interesting because a lot of times people think this is the sentimentality part. Just letting things slide because it's the holiday season. You know, we can't really say that. And it's actually a frightened part of your personality that has yet another excuse not to be in your integrity. That's what I would say. Yet another excuse. And I remember one holiday many years ago when we first met, beloved, we lived in a small town, and we were with some people who were, I would say, very spiritual. They
New Age, for sure.
New Age, for sure, right. But they would...
They saw themselves as spiritual. And
yes.
I think they strive to be spiritual.
Yes.
And we were among them.
Yes. And it was such an interesting thing that happened. We were at one of their houses on Christmas, but there were some things that hadn't been spoken about that no one wanted to talk about that really needed to be talked about because they were pushed, this topic kept being pushed under the rug and no one would say anything about it and everyone was pretending like everything was okay. And Gary and I really didn't feel like we wanted to push it under the rug. We wanted to speak about it so that we could, so that everyone could have a chance to say what they needed to say and to actually come closer together rather than pretending like they were close. So it was a really interesting Christmas because Gary spoke up about the subject that no one wanted to talk about, and the reaction was quite strong. Frightened parts of the personality left. Some of them left. Some of them said, Gary, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be talking about that at this time of the year. And quite a few people were upset. But there was...
Actually, they were all upset but one.
There was one.
As I recall.
Yeah, there was one that wasn't really that upset.
Yes.
But it was really interesting. And part of the reason was because it was the how could you talk about this on Christmas? But actually, they wouldn't. Their Spartan parts wouldn't have wanted to talk about it any time. It's just that they'd been avoiding it, and that was just a really good reason to be even more angry.
Now, I want to say that I didn't say what I did to criticize anyone or to judge anyone. It was something that I observed. There was so much going on in this community. One person was way out of integrity with money.
Yeah.
Borrow money and wouldn't give it back. Would obligate to do things. Jobs, in other words, in advance for money, and then do the jobs. There were others who were oblivious to many things that were going on around them. And all of them, I think, appreciated one another. I certainly appreciated them. But as time passed, I began to realize that perhaps my appreciation had an element of fear in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean this in a judgmental way. I mean that they had my values. They spoke like me. They acted like me. Some of them dressed like me. A lot of them were wearing white a lot, and I didn't wear white. I wore ski clothes and backcountry clothes. But I took a comfort in that. And I think that everyone who's in a clique, whether the clique is a congregation or a club or a group at school or a country club or a profession, takes comfort in the company of those in the clique. And I certainly took comfort in it. I love them. I love them after we had this Christmas, and they still love me. But it was an interesting experience, because why not say some of the things that seem so obvious? But the distress that it caused, it wasn't exactly anger. It was, in some cases, it was more righteousness. But one person ran upstairs into a loft and didn't come down. She was a very opposed. And one person, who had only been there for 4 months, objected the most. She said, that's not the way it is here, but he wasn't even there long enough to know how it is there. And one person, a friend who was a musician, said, this is the first time we've talked about something real. That's what we wanted. How could I not be in my integrity? It wasn't an intellectual process. I just knew that this was a good time to say a few things. And I did.
And everyone was gathered for this holy, sacred time.
Yes. How can you appreciate the holiness of your life and be out of your integrity? How can you be conscious in your life and strive for empowerment and know that you don't have the courage to say something that could benefit someone else? And I'm not talking about radical or brutal honesty. I'm talking about consulting your intuition, following the conscious communication and action guidelines, consulting your intuition, setting your intention so you'll know that it's constructive, beneficial, and healthy.
Yes.
And then speaking from the healthiest part of your personality that you can. It doesn't mean just blurting out your judgments and being righteous about it.
No, it doesn't mean that at all, because then you would be pursuing external power.
Precisely.
Right.
Precisely. Trying to make yourself feel better about yourself because of what you're doing.
But I just want to say that it doesn't mean that people are not going to react. It doesn't mean that their frightened parts aren't going to become active. But if you don't do what's in your integrity, then you won't be in your integrity. And you won't be creating authentic power. And we're not talking about that you say everything that you think every moment, or you have to be in your integrity. You say everything. It's really checking with your intuition. It's checking to see, is this something that needs to be said now, and how can I say it with love? That's what you're always checking to see.
That's right.
And I just want to say, though, that the people in this lovely in this community really did not know about Authentic Power, Beloved. I don't even know if any of them had read your book, even though it was published, you know, quite a few years before. They knew of your book, but I don't think they ever read it. I think they felt like they were very spiritual, and I guess they were in some ways, but what they didn't know is that they have frightened parts of their personality that unconsciously controlled a lot of their life that they weren't aware of. And that's something that I'm so grateful for. I'm so grateful that we can have this Authentic Power learning community to keep learning about Authentic Power, to keep going deeper. Because if we don't, we're going to be superficially spiritual. And that's not spiritual. That's actually...
that's not spirituality.
No, that's actually pursuing external power and letting frightened parts take over.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Our friend Maya Angelou told me once, when she said something, when someone tells me I'm a Christian, she says, "Really? Already? I'm in my 80s, and I'm still trying."
I feel
the same way about authentic power.
Yeah, she does say that.
So when you're at home, what Linda's saying is not that you need to have everyone gathered around the Christmas tree in order to point out that one of your uncles is talking all the time, as he usually does, or one of your aunts is intoxicated, as she might be now and then. It means that you use your intuition, that maybe that isn't the appropriate time to say what it is you have in mind, but maybe you can ask yourself, in fact, that's what the guideline in the Conscious Communication and Actions Guideline, the first one, is. Consult your intuition. You can ask your intuition, what's the best way to handle this? What would be the most effective way? And it might be that to wait for an opportunity when you and your uncle, or you and your aunt, or you and your sibling are having some coffee together, or walking in the snow, or walking by a stream. Maybe that's the time to say. Or maybe it is a good time to say it when everyone's gathered. But know your intention.
I want to talk about one more thing, Beloved, before we end our time and on the live streaming. I wanted to talk about courage. And this one is so important. This, of course, is one of the sections of the guidelines. It's so important because when you have the courage to say what you need to say, it changes everything. When you don't have the courage, and what I mean by that is saying things that are hard to say, but there are so many wonderful things you can say that take courage for you to say. For instance, if you want to get to know someone, but you're afraid to talk to them, so you meet someone at a dinner, at a holiday party or a dinner, and instead of really getting to know them and talking to them in a meaningful way, you do the usual thing. That would be not using your courage. Using your courage would be to say, "Oh, you know what? I want to, I'm really curious about you, and I want to guess what it is that you do. Or I want to know something, I want to tell you something about myself that's meaningful, and I'd love to hear something about you that is meaningful." And things like that. It's just so exciting, the things that you can do, because saying things that are difficult to say isn't that you're trying to tell someone about themselves something you don't like. That's not it. That could be it, maybe, that you need to do that, but that's not really, it's the courage to go have more meaningful relationships with your family when you go home, to actually say things and open up the possibility that you can go deeper with them, that you can have that possibility without attachment. That takes courage to do that, to do things not in the habitual way, but in a fresh new way, with new eyes to see what can happen this particular holiday season, what can happen in our life that could make my relationships with others much more close. And even if they react and they don't want that you know you've done what you need to do, you've used your courage to do what you need to do. And I just find that to be really exciting. We have a friend who we just visited, and I watched her. It was so interesting. She owns a hotel, and the hotel, we stayed there the other night because of something that we needed to do, and it was just amazing. It's on the coast of Oregon, and we stayed in the hotel, and then we went down for breakfast one morning the next morning when we got up, and I watched our friend talk to this person, this couple at the table, and she was asking, she said, she was making a game of it. She loved to make games of getting to know people. She said, you know, don't tell me what you do. I want to guess. And so she was talking to this man. She said, don't tell me. I just want to guess what you do. And so she started asking questions that would help elicit what he might do. And it was so interesting what happened. He got so excited. He got so into detail, even though he was retired and he didn't do that anymore. He got so excited about being able to share at the deepest level about the things that he does. And I just loved watching that happen.
And had she not done that, we wouldn't have had this richness of his company and also what he shared about himself. He's an oceanographer. He loves the ocean. And he spent his life studying the ocean. And we learned lots of wonderful things about the ocean, about tectonic plates, about why there are such big rocks on the Oregon coast. It's because they're part of another continent that have literally been pushed up out of the ocean. And it was all because our friend said, don't tell me what you do. Let me guess. Tell me, are you retired? Are you this? Are you that?
Yeah, it was really fun to watch. I mean, Goody, our friend, loves people as much as I do. She just loves people. And I just love talking with people and learning more about them. But I just love that particular way of doing it. So that's what we're asking you to do. Really make a list for yourself of the ways that you can have a conscious Christmas, the ways that you can use the authentic power guidelines, the ways that you can bring them into this Christmas to have it be more meaningful, to have more meaningful interactions, to catch yourself when you become unconscious, maybe to have more spiritual partners supporting you. What a gift that would be. In fact, you have, of course, the authentic power message board that you can, the community. That
the online
you can,
spiritual partnership community.
Yes, that's
that
it. That's the one that you can ask, you know, that you can begin to share the experiences that you're having, the things that are meaningful, the things that are significant, or the ways that maybe you're stuck and you want some support from a spiritual partner in how to use the guidelines more effectively. So aware of that. So what we're going to do...
Well, before we do that, though...
Yes, brother.
Ask yourself also, are you going to think that everything that we've said, or are you unconsciously going to erase or file aside in a mental drawer that you don't plan to return to everything that we've said on December the 26th when Christmas is over, and now the focus is on returning the presents or exchanging the presents that don't fit, that aren't the right color? And are you going to have forgotten about it completely by January the 1st after you've celebrated the new year? What is the new year? The new year is an artifact of 5th century perception. The calendar that we have wasn't even the calendar that was used for most of human history. In fact, for most of human history, we didn't have a calendar. New beginning happens whenever you decide to make one. It doesn't have to be a new calendar year. It doesn't have to be a holy day. It doesn't have to be a special celebration. All days are holy. Cycles come to completion continually. And every time they do, another cycle begins. I'm not saying that your experiences of anger or jealousy are cyclic, but they're repetitive. They are the products of frightened parts of your personality, and when you recognize them, you put yourself in a position to do something powerful, and that is to choose whether they will control you or not, control your deeds and control your words. These are the things that you can choose moment by moment in your life. If you don't choose them, you continue to live an unconscious life. If you do choose them, you bring consciousness and your volition into your life, and you can change your life as you choose, when you choose, in the way that you want it to change. If you don't do that, when Christmas comes again next year, or whatever holiday it is you celebrate, you will continue to celebrate it unconsciously. Why? Because you're living your life unconsciously. But if you are creating authentic power, when a day comes, an event comes, a holiday comes, a commercial extravaganza comes, you will be able to apply the same tools, emotional awareness, responsible choice, consult the authentic power guidelines, and use whatever you encounter to create authentic power. That means to move into again, to return to the love that soothes you, that feeds you, the gratitude that nurtures you, the appreciation and the awe of the universe. That is your natural state of being.
Beautiful.
We wish you a very conscious day, whether it's a Christmas day, a Hanukkah day, an Easter day, a Ramadan day,
a regular day,
a Wesak day,
all days,
or just tomorrow.
That's right.
Better yet,
today. So, I want you to be thinking about the ways you can make your Christmas more conscious, and we'll be talking about that and sharing about that in a few minutes on the call that we're on. So we're going to join you there. We're going to stop the video now, and we'll be coming on the call with you so we can all interact together. I'm really looking
yes.
forward to it.
If you're watching us on your computer, this is a time for you to shut your computer off or shut your program down and call in on Maestro. We'll join you on Maestro. We're going to give you 2 minutes. We are back.
Thank you, Gail. Yes, we're back, and we're really excited to be talking to you. So I know people will be joining us for a little bit, but we just wanted to begin. So we are really curious about hearing from you. First of all, a couple of things. One, if you want to talk about how you were benefiting from becoming detached in situations from between the last time we were on a call and the time, and right now, did you experiment with times to see how your attachments, when you're attached, and how that doesn't create the kind of life you want? So, in other words, anything about attachment or detachment that you want to talk about?
Which is what we discussed last session.
Yeah, the last session. Anything, and also we want to know have you give examples of a conscious holiday experience that you've had. So begin to raise your hand at any time, because you can press 1 on your keypad and we'll start calling on you soon. And also, I want to know what insights you've had since we've been talking about how you can make your holiday more conscious. So those are the kinds of things that I'm interested in hearing about from you. And if there's anything particular that you feel like you want to share about creating authentic power that you've been learning about yourself. So those are the kinds of things that we're thinking about that we'd like to hear from you. And it's so good to be on the call with you. Just a joy. So I think we can begin now, beloved. Let's call on Penny. Hello, Penny.
Hello. Hi. So glad to speak to you. I happen to be Jewish, and this year I never had a bat mitzvah, so I went through that with my son. And typical experience, he had a lot of wonderful gifts. It was a very soul-filled time because of what you both have taught me. I've read all of your books several times, and excuse me, I have to stop the elliptical, because that's exactly how I've read many, many of your books multiple times. But what I did for Hanukkah this year, because I felt he had received so much, is every day, him being a tween, I wrote him a card starting with "I love you." And then one of your many, many wonderful lessons that you taught me. And at the end of the 8 days, he got one every day. And at the end of the 8 days, I had recapped them and put them in a frame and put it in his room for him to see on a daily basis. And at 13, he may not get all this. After all, I'm 57 and I'm still trying to learn. but I wanted it around him. And on some days when he's being a tween, I also wanted it around me to be the first thing that I love you and then move on from there.
Oh, that is beautiful.
That really is, Jenny. That's a such a good example of choosing a conscious way to celebrate holiday.
For those of you who don't know, Hanukkah, who aren't Jewish, Hanukkah extends over several days, and it's a tradition to give a gift each day. And you gave a series of conscious, heartfelt gifts of love, starting with, I love you. That's the most beautiful set of Hanukkah gifts I believe I've heard.
Thank you.
Yes, that's very beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow.
Thank you for teaching me so much, and I'm still trying every day to learn.
Me too. So thank you. Really appreciate it. So,
let's see.
How about Stephanie? Hello, Stephanie. I think you have a microphone.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Gary. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So good to be here. I really appreciated the beginning about starting over, because I feel like that's been up for me, needing to start over. And I had a lot of reflections about the questions you put forward, and in terms of the practicing the detachment, I had some really great conversations on the online forum, and someone pointed out to me that I like my responsibility for other people's behavior, because I was writing about my frightened parts and how I act around family, and absolutely was my answer. And so that was really gave me some insight into letting go of taking responsibility for other people's my family and for example my husband, you know, what their choices are or not caused by me, and I'm not responsible for them. And that was really helpful, and it's really helped me. And then leading into that, I was able to have a really, it felt like a conscious Thanksgiving, because I was really concerned about my kids noticing the lack, the hole of not having their dad here. And I chose to invite my mom and my sister, even though they've been hard relationships, but I chose to do that for my kids and for them, and I chose to do it with no expectations of anybody, including myself, and just was going to have it simple, and it was a really wonderful day. I felt connected to my mom, to my sister, and my son said that it was one of the best Thanksgivings. It was just fun. We just went for a walk, and my Christmas, because that is, there's some fear of that, and this, their dad, and so just want to take that into that conscious decision of no expectations of people.
Stephanie, are you on a cell phone?
I am not.
Are you speaking from a cell phone?
No.
For some reason,
okay,
you're breaking
up. For some reason,
up.
We heard everything you said, but there was a little breakup in it. But thank you so much for sharing. What a beautiful gathering, and what a courageous and beautiful thing you did.
Yes, and with no attachments.
You're inviting,
doing your best. That's
inviting
beautiful.
Inviting two family members where things have been challenging at times. Your frightened parts have been challenged at times. And bringing them with love into your loving environment. That's conscious, isn't it? Oh, you can answer, Stephanie, because your telephone's been muted. But thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really, really good to hear you. Thanks a lot, Stephanie. And I'd like to call, I'd like to call on Carol. Carol Ann.
Okay.
Carol Ann? Or we're going to open up your mic in just a moment. It should be soon.
So we want to close Stephanie's mic, and there it is.
And open Carol.
Carol Ann.
Okay, Carol. Can you hear me? Your microphone's open now, and I'm wondering if you're on...
Unmute your phone.
Maybe you're on mute.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Gary and Linda. I did something here to challenge myself and to truly give without expectation. That's something I've been working on myself, because I found a lot of times when I give, I do have an expectation. And what I did was, we just went to church last Sunday, and I won't be back until after the holidays, but I offered a challenge to some of the parishioners. I gave a gift to the church for that. I would like to go to outreach to support the pastor in an outreach program that he wants to develop in our church. And he sent me an email that for our Christmas Eve donations, and he sent me an email that somebody else has matched my challenge, and I did this. I just had an intuition that was something that I should do, and now more funds have come in for an outreach program to help the needy in our church, and I did this with no expectation. I feel joy that somebody else has stepped forward already, but I did it with no expectation, and that's something new for me. So.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Carol. That's really good to hear that, and it'll be of support to a lot of people in your community.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, huh?
And,
beautiful.
And what I hear you saying, Carol, is that as you volunteered, you consciously had in mind that this is without expectation or without attachment to the outcome.
That's right. My intuition, I had this intuition to do it, and I knew the intuition was from my heart. It wasn't from my wanting recognition or anything. It came from my heart. And I stuck with that, I have joy, not happiness, I have joy that I was able to support our community in that way, and now that other people are stepping forward and joining me in this, so.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Another conscious way to create a holiday, a conscious holiday. So what I'm going to do, this is the last thing we're going to do with sharing. I want you to raise your hand, or I may call on you. I want you to tell me one thing you're going to do to make your holiday more conscious. So you can go ahead and raise your hand, it's just very brief. One thing you're going to do to make your holiday more conscious. I'm going to call on David.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, David. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. One thing I'm going to do to make my holiday more conscious. I've really been trying to look at having compassion for myself. Because I'm finding, especially in the last few weeks, not having compassion for myself and judging myself has caused me to judge and react to other people. So I think by having compassion for myself, I'll be able to have compassion for others and be more loving to them.
Yes, what a wonderful intention to have.
That's the only way you can, isn't it, David? How can you have compassion for other people if you don't have it for yourself? How can you have it for yourself if you don't have it for other people? You can start in either place.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, David. Appreciate your sharing. And
bye-bye.
I'm going to call on Daryl right now. Daryl Haddon. Can you unmute Daryl's phone? Okay, Daryl, hi.
Hi.
Hi, are you going to? Yeah.
Yeah, Dick. Hello, Daryl.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the call.
Yeah. So what thing are you going to do that will make your holidays more conscious?
Well, it's I haven't thought about that. I've been thinking more about detachment and working on that quite a bit in the last little while. So that's what I've been concentrating on. That's what I'm going to continue concentrating on for the next little while.
I think that would be a great thing to do to make your holiday more conscious.
Me too.
That's great.
And more joyful.
Yes.
Indeed. Indeed.
And don't forget, as you set an intention powerful like this, that you're going to find parts of your personality that are attached to things you hadn't even noticed before.
Yeah, I am experiencing that. I have been working on this since the last call, and I'm receiving more and more insights about my frightened parts being attached that I was just not aware of before.
Isn't that interesting when it happens, Daryl? That happens to me, too, when suddenly it happened to me once when a major thing that I expected to happen didn't happen, and I suddenly saw how deep the roots of my attachment sank into that.
Yes.
And that was interesting to see. It was really interesting. Have you had a similar kind of experience?
Yes. And yesterday was a big breakthrough for me as far as actually moving through my attachments. And so it was very joyful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So glad to hear it. Great to hear your voice. And we'll look forward to hearing it again. Okay, I'm going to call on let's see who else. Maritza. Maritza. Would you unmute?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted, of course. Hello.
Hi. So what are you going to do to make your holiday more conscious?
Well, mine is very similar to Daryl's, where I'm going to let go of detachment. We have a lot of Tim's family coming for the holidays. So, you know, wanting everything to be, I mean, it was so perfect because it's wanting everything to be perfect. It's the first Christmas they've spent here in the United States. So I've been kind of running around, you know, focusing more on, you know, the commercial part of it. So this was just, like, so perfect, you know, for me. And then also, too, in other calls I've had with spiritual partners, they've supported me in, you know, letting go. So I think that's what I'm going to really work on, just letting things happen and just doing that.
I missed something that you said, but I think...
You said really not, and then we lost you.
Oh, I said that I'm just going to let go and let whatever happens happen and just learn from that or just enjoy, you know, being with family.
Yeah, trust the universe.
Absolutely.
Trust the universe and do your best.
Exactly, exactly.
Beautiful intention to set, Maritza, because with that intention, even if someone in your family or Tim's family or your larger family should activate a frightened part of your personality, you can still enjoy being with them even while that's happening.
Exactly.
So I wish we could call on everyone, beloved. We're not going to be able to do that. So I think what we're going to have to do now is just tell you a few things, just very briefly. So you may want to write them down. We want to remind you you have an assignment, and that's to have the most conscious holiday season you can. and to talk, you know, talk to people on the spiritual online forum. Talk to them about that and what's going on with you. And we'll share about that when you get back January 18th. That's our next call. And so list at least two or three things you intend to do to create a more conscious holiday season, and then do them and see what happens. And share your list on the online forum. And for those of you that didn't get a chance to talk about this, you can do that on the online forum. And I do want to say a couple things. Watch Gary and Oprah on Super Soul Sunday next weekend. That's December 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. The Best of Oprah show is going to have Gary on emotional awareness. And then there's also another show that she's doing at 12 noon, right before that, called Soul to Soul. She asked a lot of different spiritual teachers asking life's big questions. So Gary will be on there as well. And check the airtime in case you're not sure about it. And I do want to say that the Journey to the Soul 5-day retreat, the special early bird registration price, ends tomorrow. That's the 15th. So if you want to come or you have family and friends, please make sure you get those registrations in and let Jordan know that you want to do that. So send your questions to the APLC at seatofthesoul.com, too, if you have questions that you want to submit that you'd like us to answer.
Now, the 15th is on a Sunday, so that's a weekend, of course. But
You can fax them in. You
can fax them. You can do what's necessary, and she'll have them Monday morning.
Or call them, or call her early Monday morning if you can't fax. So do what you need to do. So, and we're going to be, as I said, our next call is going to be on the 18th. But right now we're going to break into groups of three or four. And so remember to use the Authentic Power Guidelines as you're in your groups, because that will really support you, but with each other, so that you don't think, well, I can't say that, or I don't have the courage to say what I'm noticing. Be sure that you do that. Be sure you use your courage to say what you need to say so that you can be of most support to each other. So what I'm going to do is have you just introduce yourselves to each other real quickly. And, first of all, I'm going to do one thing. I want you to close your eyes, if you can. But if you can't, that's okay. And then I want you to open to your intuition and ask this question. What are at least two things I could do to create a more conscious holiday season?
Yeah, don't do this if you don't feel comfortable doing it, or if you put yourself in
at
any risk. Keep your eyes open.
Right, of course. You can still open to your intuition and ask these questions. What are the two things that you could do, at least two things you can do, that to make a more a conscious holiday season? So be thinking about that, and so I'm going to give you just a minute for that, just to see what that would be. Go ahead it may have already popped into your mind already. Okay, everyone. What Gary and I are going to do now, we're going to close the mics just for a moment, but you are going to be continuing again. So you'll continue the circles, but Gary and I are going to be leaving the call now. So you can stay with your group as long as you like. And we suggest that you continue to share more about your insights, about yourself, what would take courage for you, and what you've been learning through this session, or insights that will actually make your holidays special and meaningful and a conscious time with your family and friends. So go ahead and share what it is that you want to share with your group. And what would take integrity and courage for you to do. If you need to leave the call if you can't continue sharing, then I would say go on to the online forum as soon as you can, as soon as you're free, and read what others are sharing and share yourself. And continue to do that through the holidays, in fact, until our next session on January 18th. We really enjoyed being with you today, and looking forward to being with you in 2014.
Indeed we do. And we wish you a very heart-filled, joyful, fulfilling, and thrilling Christmas and life.
And holiday season, no matter what holiday you're celebrating, or even if you're not celebrating a holiday, it doesn't matter. We wish you the very best. Much love now. Bye-bye.